Question: Is it important to understand these explanations in order to heal the sick? Answer: It is, since Christ is the way and the truth, casting out all error. Jesus called himself the Son of Man, but not the son of Joseph. As woman is but a species of the genera, he was literally the Son of Man. Jesus was the highest human concept of the perfect man. He was inseparable from Christ, the Messiah, the divine idea of God outside the flesh. This enabled Jesus to demonstrate his control over matter. Angels announced to the wise men of old this dual appearing, and angels whisper it through faith to the hungering heart in every age. Sickness is part of the error which truth casts out. Error will not expel error. Christian Science is the law of truth which heals the sick on the basis of the one mind or God. It can heal in no other way, since the human mortal mind, so-called, is not a healer, but causes the belief in disease. Then comes the question, how do drugs, hygiene, and animal magnetism heal? It may be affirmed that they do not heal, but only relieve suffering temporarily, exchanging one disease for another. We classify disease as error, which nothing but truth or mind can heal, and this mind must be divine, not human. Mind transcends all other power and will ultimately supersede all other means in healing. In order to heal by science, you must not be ignorant of the moral and spiritual demands of science, nor disobey them. Moral ignorance or sin affects your demonstration and hinders its approach to the standard in Christian Science. After the author's sacred discovery, she affixed the name science to Christianity, the name error to corporeal sense, and the name substance to mind. Science has called the world to battle over this issue and its demonstration, which heals the sick, destroys error, and reveals the universal harmony. To those natural Christian scientists, the ancient worthies, and to Christ Jesus, God certainly revealed the spirit of Christian Science, if not the absolute letter. Because the science of mind seems to bring into dishonor the ordinary scientific schools, which wrestle with material observations alone, this science has met with opposition. But if any system honors God, it ought to receive aid, not opposition, from all thinking persons. And Christian Science does honor God, as no other theory honors him, and it does this in the way of his appointing, by doing many wonderful works through the divine name and nature. One must fulfill one's mission without timidity or dissimulation. For to be well done, the work must be done unselfishly. Christianity will never be based on a divine principle and so found to be unerring until its absolute science is reached. When this is accomplished, neither pride, prejudice, bigotry, nor envy can wash away its foundation, for it is built upon the rock, Christ. Question: Does Christian Science or metaphysical healing include medication, material hygiene, mesmerism, hypnotism, theosophy, or spiritualism? Answer: Not one of them is included in it. In divine science, the supposed laws of matter yield to the law of mind. What are termed natural science and material laws are the objective states of mortal mind. The physical universe expresses the conscious and unconscious thoughts of mortals. Physical force and mortal mind are one. Drugs and hygiene oppose the supremacy of the divine mind. Drugs and inert matter are unconscious, mindless. Certain results supposed to proceed from drugs are really caused by the faith in them, which the false human consciousness is educated to feel. Mesmerism is mortal material illusion. Animal magnetism is the voluntary or involuntary action of error in all its forms. It is the human antipode of divine science. Science must triumph over material sense and truth over error, thus putting an end to the hypotheses involved in all false theories and practices. Question. Is materiality the concomitant of spirituality? And is material sense a necessary preliminary to the understanding and expression of spirit? Answer. If error is necessary to define or to reveal truth, the answer is yes, but not otherwise. Material sense is an absurd phrase, for matter has no sensation. Science declares that mind, not matter, sees, hears, feels, speaks. Whatever contradicts this statement is the false sense, which ever betrays mortals into sickness, sin, and death. If the unimportant and evil appear, only soon to disappear because of their uselessness or their iniquity, then these ephemeral views of error ought to be obliterated by truth. Why malign Christian Science for instructing mortals how to make sin, disease, and death appear more and more unreal? Emerge gently from matter into spirit. Think not to thwart the spiritual ultimate of all things, but come naturally into spirit through better health and morals, and as the result of spiritual growth. Not death, but the understanding of life makes man immortal. The belief that life can be in matter or soul in body, and that man springs from dust or from an egg, is the result of the mortal error which Christ or truth destroys by fulfilling the spiritual law of being, in which man is perfect, even as the Father which is in heaven is perfect. If thought yields its dominion to other powers, it cannot outline on the body its own beautiful images, but it effaces them and delineates foreign agents called disease and sin. The heathen gods of mythology controlled war and agriculture as much as nerves control sensation or muscles measure strength. To say that strength is in matter is like saying that the power is in the lever. The notion of any life or intelligence in matter is without foundation in fact, and you can have no faith in falsehood when you have learned falsehood's true nature. Suppose one accident happens to the eye, another to the ear, and so on, until every corporeal sense is quenched. What is man's remedy? To die that he may regain these senses? Even then he must gain spiritual understanding and spiritual sense in order to possess immortal consciousness. Earth's preparatory school must be improved to the utmost. In reality, man never dies. The belief that he dies will not establish his scientific harmony. Death is not the result of truth, but of error, and one error will not correct another. Jesus proved by the prints of the nails that his body was the same immediately after death as before. If death restores sight, sound, and strength to man, then death is not an enemy, but a better friend than life. Alas for the blindness of belief, which makes harmony conditional upon death and matter, and yet supposes mind unable to produce harmony. So long as this error of belief remains, mortals will continue mortal in belief and subject to chance and change. Sight, hearing, all the spiritual senses of man are eternal. They cannot be lost. Their reality and immortality are in spirit and understanding, not in matter, hence their permanence. If this were not so, man would be speedily annihilated. If the five corporeal senses were the medium through which to understand God, then palsy, blindness, and deafness would place man in a terrible situation, where he would be like those having no hope and without God in the world. But as a matter of fact, these calamities often drive mortals to seek and to find a higher sense of happiness and existence. Life is deathless. Life is the origin and ultimate of man, never attainable through death, but gained by walking in the pathway of truth, both before and after that which is called death. There is more Christianity in seeing and hearing spiritually than materially. There is more science in the perpetual exercise of the mind faculties than in their loss. Lost they cannot be while mind remains. The apprehension of this gave sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf centuries ago, and it will repeat the wonder. Question. You speak of belief. Who or what is it that believes? Answer. Spirit is all-knowing. This precludes the need of believing. Matter cannot believe, and mind understands. The body cannot believe. The believer and belief are one and are mortal. Christian evidence is founded on science or demonstrable truth flowing from immortal mind, and there is in reality no such thing as mortal mind. Mere belief is blindness without principle from which to explain the reason of its hope. The belief that life is sentient and intelligent matter is erroneous. The Apostle James said, "Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." The understanding that life is God, Spirit, lengthens our days by strengthening our trust in the deathless reality of life, its almightiness and immortality. This faith relies upon an understood principle. This principle makes whole the diseased and brings out the enduring and harmonious phases of things. The result of our teachings is their sufficient confirmation. when, on the strength of these instructions, you are able to banish a severe malady, the cure shows that you understand this teaching, and therefore you receive the blessing of truth. The Hebrew and Greek words, often translated belief, differ somewhat in meaning from that conveyed by the English verb believe. They have more the significance of faith, understanding, trust, constancy, firmness. Hence, the scriptures often appear in our common version to approve and endorse belief when they mean to enforce the necessity of understanding. Question: do the five corporeal senses constitute man? Answer: Christian Science sustains with immortal proof the impossibility of any material sense and defines these so-called senses as mortal beliefs, the testimony of which cannot be true either of man or of his maker. The corporeal senses can take no cognizance of spiritual reality and immortality. Nerves have no more sensation, apart from what belief bestows upon them, than the fibers of a plant. Mind alone possesses all faculties, perception, and comprehension. Therefore, mental endowments are not at the mercy of organization and decomposition, otherwise the very worms could unfashion man. If it were possible for the real senses of man to be injured, soul could reproduce them in all their perfection. But they cannot be disturbed nor destroyed, since they exist in immortal mind, not in matter. The less mind there is manifested in matter, the better. When the unthinking lobster loses its claw, the claw grows again. If the science of life were understood, it would be found that the senses of mind are never lost and that matter has no sensation. Then the human limb would be replaced as readily as the lobster's claw, not with an artificial limb, but with the genuine one. Any hypothesis which supposes life to be in matter is an educated belief. In infancy, this belief is not equal to guiding the hand to the mouth, and as consciousness develops, this belief goes out, yields to the reality of everlasting life. Corporeal sense defrauds and lies. It breaks all the commands of the Mosaic Decalogue to meet its own demands. How then can this sense be the God-given channel to man of divine blessings or understanding? How can man, reflecting God, be dependent on material means for knowing, hearing, seeing? Who dares to say that the senses of man can be at one time the medium for sinning against God, at another the medium for obeying God? An affirmative reply would contradict the scripture, "For the same fountain sendeth not forth sweet waters and bitter." The corporeal senses are the only source of evil or error. Christian Science shows them to be false because matter has no sensation, and no organic construction can give it hearing and sight, nor make it the medium of mind. Outside the material sense of things, all is harmony. A wrong sense of God, man, and creation is nonsense, want of sense. Mortal belief would have the material senses sometimes good and sometimes bad. It assures mortals that there is real pleasure in sin. But the grand truths of Christian Science dispute this error. Willpower is but a product of belief, and this belief commits depredations on harmony. Human will is an animal propensity, not a faculty of soul. Hence, it cannot govern man aright. Christian Science reveals truth and love as the motive powers of man. Will, blind, stubborn, and headlong, cooperates with appetite and passion. From this cooperation arises its evil. From this also comes its powerlessness, since all power belongs to God, good. The science of mind needs to be understood. Until it is understood, mortals are more or less deprived of truth. Human theories are helpless to make man harmonious or immortal, since he is so already, according to Christian Science. Our only need is to know this and reduce to practice the real man's divine principle, love. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings. Human belief or knowledge gained from the so-called material senses would, by fair logic, annihilate man along with the dissolving elements of clay. The scientifically Christian explanations of the nature and origin of man destroy all material sense with immortal testimony. This immortal testimony ushers in the spiritual sense of being, which can be obtained in no other way. Sleep and mesmerism explain the mythical nature of material sense. Sleep shows material sense as either oblivion, nothingness, or an illusion or dream. Under the mesmeric illusion of belief, a man will think that he is freezing when he is warm, and that he is swimming when he is on dry land. Needle thrusts will not hurt him. A delicious perfume will seem intolerable. Animal magnetism thus uncovers material sense and shows it to be a belief without actual foundation or validity. Change the belief, and the sensation changes. Destroy the belief, and the sensation disappears. Material man is made up of involuntary and voluntary error, of a negative right and a positive wrong, the latter calling itself right. Man's spiritual individuality is never wrong. It is the likeness of man's maker. Matter cannot connect mortals with the true origin and facts of being, in which all must end. It is only by acknowledging the supremacy of spirit, which annuls the claims of matter, that mortals can lay off mortality and find the indissoluble spiritual link which establishes man forever in the divine likeness, inseparable from his Creator. The belief that matter and mind are one, that matter is awake at one time and asleep at another, sometimes presenting no appearance of mind, this belief culminates in another belief that man dies. Science reveals material man as never the real being. The dream or belief goes on, whether our eyes are closed or open. In sleep, memory and consciousness are lost from the body, and they wander whither they will, apparently with their own separate embodiment. Personality is not the individuality of man. A wicked man may have an attractive personality. When we are awake, we dream of the pains and pleasures of matter. Who will say, even though he does not understand Christian Science, that this dream, rather than the dreamer, may not be mortal man? Who can rationally say otherwise when the dream leaves mortal man intact in body and thought, although the so-called dreamer is unconscious? For right reasoning, there should be but one fact before the thought, namely spiritual existence. In reality, there is no other existence, since life cannot be united to its unlikeness, mortality. Being is holiness, harmony, immortality. It is already proved that a knowledge of this, even in small degree, will uplift the physical and moral standard of mortals, will increase longevity, will purify and elevate character. Thus, progress will finally destroy all error and bring immortality to light. We know that a statement proved to be good must be correct. New thoughts are constantly obtaining the floor. These two contradictory theories, that matter is something, or that all is mind, will dispute the ground until one is acknowledged to be the victor. Discussing his campaign, General Grant said, "I propose to fight it out on this line if it takes all summer." Science says, "All is mind and mind's idea. You must fight it out on this line. Matter can afford you no aid." The notion that mind and matter commingle in the human illusion as to sin, sickness, and death must eventually submit to the science of mind, which denies this notion. God is mind and God is infinite, hence all is mind. On this statement rests the science of being, and the principle of this science is divine, demonstrating harmony and immortality. The conservative theory, long believed, is that there are two factors, matter and mind, uniting on some impossible basis. This theory would keep truth and error always at war. Victory would perch on neither banner. On the other hand, Christian Science speedily shows truth to be triumphant. To corporeal sense, the sun appears to rise and set, and the earth to stand still. But astronomical science contradicts this and explains the solar system as working on a different plan. All the evidence of physical sense and all the knowledge obtained from physical sense must yield to science, to the immortal truth of all things. Question: will you explain sickness and show how it is to be healed? Answer: the method of Christian Science mind healing is touched upon in a previous chapter entitled Christian Science Practice. A full answer to the above question involves teaching, which enables the healer to demonstrate and prove for himself the principle and rule of Christian Science or metaphysical healing. Mind must be found superior to all the beliefs of the five corporeal senses and able to destroy all ills. Sickness is a belief which must be annihilated by the divine mind. Disease is an experience of so-called mortal mind. It is fear made manifest on the body. Christian Science takes away this physical sense of discord, just as it removes any other sense of moral or mental inharmony. that man is material, and that matter suffers, these propositions can only seem real and natural in illusion. Any sense of soul in matter is not the reality of being. If Jesus awakened Lazarus from the dream illusion of death, this proved that the Christ could improve on a false sense. Who dares to doubt this consummate test of the power and willingness of divine mind to hold man forever intact in his perfect state and to govern man's entire action? Jesus said, "Destroy this temple body, and in 3 days I, mind, will raise it up." And he did this for tired humanity's reassurance. Is it not a species of infidelity to believe that so great a work as the Messiah's was done for himself or for God, who needed no help from Jesus' example to preserve the eternal harmony? But mortals did need this help, and Jesus pointed the way for them. Divine love always has met and always will meet every human need. It is not well to imagine that Jesus demonstrated the divine power to heal only for a select number or for a limited period of time, since to all mankind and in every hour, divine love supplies all good. The miracle of grace is no miracle to love. Jesus demonstrated the inability of corporeality as well as the infinite ability of spirit, thus helping erring human sense to flee from its own convictions and seek safety in divine science. Reason, rightly directed, serves to correct the errors of corporeal sense. But sin, sickness, and death will seem real, even as the experiences of the sleeping dream seem real, until the science of man's eternal harmony breaks their illusion with the unbroken reality of scientific being. Which of these two theories concerning man are you ready to accept? One is the mortal testimony, changing, dying, unreal. The other is the eternal and real evidence, bearing truth's signet, its lap piled high with immortal fruits. Our Master cast out devils, evils, and healed the sick. It should be said of his followers also that they cast fear and all evil out of themselves and others and heal the sick. God will heal the sick through man whenever man is governed by God. Truth casts out error now as surely as it did 19 centuries ago. All of truth is not understood, hence its healing power is not fully demonstrated. If sickness is true or the idea of truth, you cannot destroy sickness, and it would be absurd to try. Then classify sickness and error as our Master did when he spoke of the sick, whom Satan hath bound, and find a sovereign antidote for error in the life-giving power of truth acting on human belief, a power which opens the prison doors to such as are bound and sets the captive free physically and morally. When the illusion of sickness or sin tempts you, cling steadfastly to God and his idea. Allow nothing but his likeness to abide in your thought. Let neither fear nor doubt overshadow your clear sense and calm trust that the recognition of life harmonious as life eternally is can destroy any painful sense of or belief in that which life is not. Let Christian science, instead of corporeal sense, support your understanding of being, and this understanding will supplant error with truth, replace mortality with immortality, and silence discord with harmony. Question: how can I progress most rapidly in the understanding of Christian Science? Answer: study thoroughly the letter and imbibe the spirit. Adhere to the divine principle of Christian Science and follow the behests of God, abiding steadfastly in wisdom, truth, and love. In the science of mind, you will soon ascertain that error cannot destroy error. You will also learn that in science there is no transfer of evil suggestions from one mortal to another, for there is but one mind, and this ever-present, omnipotent mind is reflected by man and governs the entire universe. You will learn that in Christian Science, the first duty is to obey God, to have one mind, and to love another as yourself. We all must learn that life is God. Ask yourself, am I living the life that approaches the supreme good? Am I demonstrating the healing power of truth and love? If so, then the way will grow brighter unto the perfect day. Your fruits will prove what the understanding of God brings to man. Hold perpetually this thought, that it is the spiritual idea, the Holy Ghost and Christ, which enables you to demonstrate with scientific certainty the rule of healing, based upon its divine principle, love, underlying, overlying, and encompassing all true being. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law of mortal belief at war with the facts of immortal life, even with the spiritual law which says to the grave, "Where is thy victory?" But when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory." Question: have Christian Scientists any religious creed? Answer: they have not, if by that term is meant doctrinal beliefs. The following is a brief exposition of the important points or religious tenets of Christian Science. 1. As adherents of truth, we take the inspired word of the Bible as our sufficient guide to eternal life. 2. We acknowledge and adore one supreme and infinite God. We acknowledge His Son, one Christ, the Holy Ghost or Divine Comforter, and man in God's image and likeness. 3. We acknowledge God's forgiveness of sin in the destruction of sin, and the spiritual understanding that casts out evil as unreal. But the belief in sin is punished so long as the belief lasts. 4. We acknowledge Jesus' atonement as the evidence of divine, efficacious love, unfolding man's unity with God through Christ Jesus the way-shower. And we acknowledge that man is saved through Christ, through truth, life, and love, as demonstrated by the Galilean prophet in healing the sick and overcoming sin and death. 5. We acknowledge that the crucifixion of Jesus and His resurrection served to uplift faith to understand eternal life, even the allness of soul, spirit, and the nothingness of matter. 6. And we solemnly promise to watch and pray for that mind to be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus, to do unto others as we would have them do unto us, and to be merciful, just, and pure.